Welcome to Reading Deeply, Fueling the Brain. I'm Tanya Vince, a lead for learning and teaching here at DSB1, and I'm thrilled to be back for our November edition of Meaningful Words Unlocking the Power of Vocabulary. Today, we're diving into the second chapter of Know Better, Do Better Comprehension, where we'll explore ways to truly fuel the reading brain with knowledge, vocabulary, and rich language.
And I'm Sarah Presso, an instructional coach here at DSB1. I'm so excited to join Tanya today to unpack more ideas from David and Meredith Libin's work. We also have a wonderful guest teacher with us who will share some of her own experiences and strategies for bringing this chapter to life in the classroom. Welcome to our guest, Jennifer Simpson.
Each month, we're inviting guest teachers from across our board to help us reflect on what we're learning, connect it to classroom practice, and maybe even uncover some fresh ideas together. And remember, we'll reveal our secret word later in the episode, so stay tuned. Email it to me for a chance to win a prize in our monthly draw. Our goal is to make this podcast a meaningful, insightful, and inspiring session for everyone listening. Wow, that's a lot of pressure for us, Sarah.
So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's get started on fueling our brains and our students' brains for deeper comprehension. Let's dive into chapter 2.
What really stood out for me in this chapter is the importance of directly teaching words and creating regular opportunities for students to dive in and deeply investigate a select number of words. That might sound a bit heavy and some might think that would be boring, but what I love about this chapter, and really the book as a whole, is its focus on fostering a genuine curiosity about words in students in ways that are fun and engaging. It really captures that balance between teaching vocabulary with depth while also making the experience exciting and accessible for students. When we make this process engaging, vocabulary learning comes to life and becomes something they look forward to, giving students the confidence to explore language and build those meaningful connections with words. It's all about equipping students with the tools to become expressive, confident communicators.
In my own classroom, I've often pre-taught and reviewed new vocabulary, especially words from the science or social studies curriculums, by wearing a word of the day on a lanyard or on a pin. During transitions, I'd ask students to review the word's meaning, use it in a sentence, or explain it. This simple approach kept vocabulary fresh throughout the day. One of the activities from this chapter that stood out to me was the hallway pass words from page 38-39. Each week, teachers chose 5 words and put them on a binder ring. When students left the classroom, they'd take the ring of words with them and be ready to discuss them with anyone they passed. I loved how this generated school-wide interest and kept words visible and meaningful.
Those are fantastic strategies, Sarah. Another activity that I found helpful, and one we'll include in this resource for this episode, is called Shades of Meaning, and I found it on the Onlit website. Shades of Meaning is a hands-on way to help students understand the subtle differences between related words. So here's how it works. You start with 2 anchor words on sticky notes, and together generate synonyms for each, then arrange them in a continuum. This helps students see that similar words have nuanced differences, especially useful with adjectives and adverbs. Some fun variations include which one doesn't belong and using paint color strips to visibly rank the words. By incorporating these activities, vocabulary, instruction becomes dynamic and truly impactful for students.
That's a really neat idea, Tanya. I love how interactive these activities are. And it's great that students get to see words as tools with so many nuances. This really strengthens their understanding and confidence in both reading and writing. I also love how practical the ideas in this book are. Quick, purposeful, and easy to integrate. During transitions, for example, you could simply pick a word and ask a student to use it in a sentence or come up with a synonym or antonym. It's a simple, flexible way to keep vocabulary fresh throughout the day.
Exactly. I also love how the book emphasizes the importance of creating the right conditions in our classrooms, like making time for daily reading and read-alouds. Chapter 2 highlights the value of clustering read-alouds around a single topic, which not only builds vocabulary, but also deepens their understanding. And this we learned in the last chapter of the book. We have found 2 great examples of read-aloud lesson plans focusing on vocabulary that you're more than welcome to use. The first one is for French immersion, I'd say late primary junior classes, and it centers on the book Comment le Grand Nord découvre l'été. The second is a set of lessons for our English programming classes, and it focuses on the book Hannah's Hundreds of Hijabs. We'll be sharing both of these in the resource page that goes with this podcast episode. And having a wall of words that we've learned, or even words we know a lot about, journals, where students collect new vocabulary, can also create a permanent learning environment. The secret word is curiosity.
Tanya, those small changes that you just spoke about make vocabulary learning intentional and integrated into students' daily routines. A wall of words we learned or a journal gives them a sense of ownership. They can see their progress and feel connected to their learning.
So true. It's all about building confidence and engagement with words. Vocabulary becomes part of the classroom culture, something students interact with daily and build on.
And now we're going to speak with Jen Simpson, a CERT and math facilitator at Timmins Centennial Public School, who also spent a lot of time as a French immersion classroom teacher. So Jen, I was wondering if you could share how you go about introducing new vocabulary with your students, and maybe if you have any favorite games or activities.
So there's many steps that I would take when I'm introducing new vocabulary in the classroom. First, I explicitly teach the vocabulary words for that week. So I usually have a list of tier two or tier three words that I want the students to become more familiar with in their reading and writing. So we explicitly go over those. I teach them the definitions of those words. And ensure that they understand what they all mean. And then after that, we do some word study activities, mostly in class, looking at, you know, the prefixes and suffixes of words so that they have a deeper understanding of those words. I would also leave a blank chart paper up in my classroom so that students could add to that word list. So if there was a word that they read in a book that they weren't quite sure about, they could write that word down on the chart paper, and then we would, as a class, look into the meaning of this word. One of the most important parts, I think, of teaching students new vocabulary is to provide them with many opportunities to engage with these new words. So we would do a word of the day sometimes, a word of the week. Students would have, you know, the opportunity to draw the words, to write the words out. We would play games like charades where they would act the words out. We would play games like vocabulary, bingo, Pictionary, or even fly swatter game where the vocabulary words are written on the blackboard. You divide the class into two teams, and then one student from each team comes to the board holding a fly swatter, and the teacher reads the definition of a vocabulary word, and the students have to race to the board and fly swat the correct vocabulary word. They love this game. It's interactive and fun. During my language block, I would always walk around with either a rubric or a checklist, and this would give me the opportunity to assess students and their vocabulary growth. I could walk around the classroom and listen for if they're using the words correctly. I would also use these checklists during reading conferences or guided reading groups. And it was a nice quick way for me to see if they understood the new vocabulary words that I had taught them.
Thanks for sharing those great ideas, Jen. Pre-teaching those tier two and tier three words really helps set our students up for a better understanding. I also really love the fly swatter game, and I'm sure students would love it too.
Thanks for joining us on Reading Deeply, Fueling the Brain. We hope today's episode gives you some practical strategies to take back to your classroom and inspire curiosity in your students. Don't forget to email the secret word to me, Tanya, for a chance to win this month's prize. We'll see you next time, where we'll continue to explore new ways to enrich our teaching and deepen our students' learning. Until then, keep fueling those reading brains.